as a man to try and speak somewhat into a woman's world is not the easiest thing to want to do. But we're here together, and I trust that what God's laid on my heart through a mother's heart is going to encourage your hearts this morning. So that's what I want us to look at. It is Mothering Sunday. I kind of like the distinction between Mothering Sunday and Mother's Day. You know, not all of us, as I said at the start, are mothers, but all of us have a mother, and we're here to honour motherhood. Isn't that right? And I think that's what today should be all about, modelling a mother's heart. Somebody said a mother's heart is like her Lord's, and I like that. I like that. If the mother knows the Lord, then she ought to have a heart that's like the Lord, and we need to have a heart that models the mother's heart that is exactly like the Lord. One little girl was asked what it would take to make her mum perfect. And this little girl said, well, on the inside, nothing at all. But on the outside, some type of plastic surgery. Another little boy was asked what one thing he would change about his mother. And he said, that's easy. He said, those invisible eyes on the back of her head. I think we've all been there, haven't we? Listen, biblically speaking, of course, the father is called by God to be the head of the home. The children certainly make up the hub of the home. But without question, the mother is the heart of the home. And yet to have the heart of a mother is something that all of us can aspire to. You know the old children's joke, some of you will know it, some of you won't, about why the skeleton quit its job? Do you know the old joke about why the skeleton quit its job? Because his heart wasn't in it. I said it was an old children's joke. Okay, it's worth a bigger groan than that. Well, look, I trust and I pray that the same heart that a godly mother has to make for a better home might be, as is revealed here in Proverbs 31, the heart of every true Christ follower to make for a better witness. And I think that's something truly ambitious. For as the poet said, no painter's brush nor poet's pen in justice to her fame has ever reached half high enough to write a mother's name. Abraham Lincoln again, no one is poor who had a godly mother. And I like that. I think he was right. The influence of a godly woman, the example of a godly wife, and the love of a godly mother, I don't think can ever be overstated. I remember, I think I told some of you before, I remember as a boy, when one old lady whose shopping trolley fell to bits in the supermarket and I helped her to pick up all the goods that had fallen on the floor, she turned to me when the process was done and said, my compliments to your mother. And I thought, well, what's mum done? I did it all. But I've learned since exactly what she meant. Now, folks, sadly, I know many a godly mother has suffered from heart failure. But the heart of a godly mother never fails. And that's really what the passage here in Proverbs 31 is teaching us. You know, every day when you think about it, we have Sunday, but only once a year do we have Mothering Sunday. So let's try and learn some of the virtues and values of a godly mother's heart so that we can be seeking to model it in our own lives as believers too. Or to put it in one slightly tongue-twisting sentence, mothering matters, and the matters of mothering are to be modeled in the heart of all who follow Christ. Okay? So you can practice that one over your lunchtime and enjoy it. But that's what Proverbs is teaching us. It's actually written, this chapter, some of you will know this, it's written as an acrostic in the Hebrew language. It's like God is saying, here is the A to Z. If you want to know what godliness in a mother and woman looks like, here it is, from A to Z, in all of its beautiful entirety. And I think that's lovely. And although I know, and I have to stress it, I know that what we're given here is an ideal. I know that. beyond which I think any mother really could ever fully achieve. Nonetheless, it is the standard to which we all ought to aspire. So let me just break it down as we seek to model a mother's heart, all of us this morning, into three very simple statements. And the first is this: if we're going to model a mother's heart, recognizing that the mother's heart that follows the Lord is reflecting the Lord's heart that she follows, understand the price of a mother's worth. I mean, how much value do you put on a mother's heart? How much do you rate the need to love as a mother loves? The Bible says she is beyond price. She is worth far more than rubies. Isn't that lovely? I mean, it's no wonder, is it, when it tells us that, it raises the question, who can find such a wife? Who can find such a woman? Who can find such a mother of noble character? That is interesting. It doesn't say who can buy such a wife, does it? For the kind of woman we're talking about here, the kind of mother that we're thinking about here, with a godly heart, of noble character, of moral strength, of real integrity, is not for sale. And even if you could afford to buy her, you wouldn't have the means to do it. That's what it's saying. She is worth far more than rubies. The woman, like men who have a heart for the Lord, who lack the moral fibre and selfless devotion to sacrifice their own pleasures and rights for the good of others and the sake of the gospel, are a penny to the pound. But a woman of noble character, a wife of true virtue, a mother of godly heart, is priceless. And all the children in the congregation said, amen, Sean. Look, she's just not for sale. You can't buy this kind of woman. You've got to go out and look for this kind of woman. And I tell you what, they're not easy to find. You can find a woman with looks. You can find a woman with success. You can find a woman with money and style and education. That's one thing. But finding a woman, a wife and a mother with goodness and godliness is another thing altogether. And yet, if you've found that, and I have, and if you've found it, you've hit the jackpot. Because earlier in Proverbs, the writer tells us that he who finds a woman like this finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And you can put that in reverse too, can't you? You can apply it from a woman's perspective to a man. She who finds a husband, she who finds a man like this, finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And I need to keep reminding you of that, for whilst it is a woman and a wife and a mother that we've got more in view this morning on this Mothering Sunday, the heart that she displays to us is the heart that ought to be displayed by us all. For many, though not all, I know, so I need to be careful, the biggest decision we will ever make, once we've decided on the Lord that we're going to serve, and we'll look a bit more at that over Easter with our series Deciding Destiny, the big decision is the person that we're going to marry. Outside of which Lord we're going to follow, the next really big decision is who we're going to marry. Not that being single is a sin. Please, Jesus never married, and Jesus never sinned. Amen? Amen. Take that to heart. You know, but the decision of which Lord you follow will mean whether you spend your life in heaven or hell in the time that is to come, and the decision as to who you're going to marry will determine to some degree whether you feel like your life in this world is like heaven or hell at the moment. That's why there's no price that you can put on the kind of loveliness and beauty and integrity of the kind of mother and woman that's in view here. She's worth far more than rubies, because godly mothers give whatever it costs, no matter how inconvenient it is. You discovered that? I hope so. Godly mothers put the needs of their family ahead of their own fancies. And godly mothers prioritize their responsibilities ahead of their rights. And all of us who seek to follow Christ and model this mother's heart, the kind of heart that sees fidelity as a virtue and not a vice, the kind of heart that says what it means and means what it says, and the kind of heart that gives you cause to wonder, are you ever going to find it at all? It's the kind of heart that we need to take to heart this morning. Any of you remember the old Irish pop singer Fergal Sharkey? Any of you? I mean, he was struggling with this thought in his one and only big hit, wasn't he? Where he sings it out. I know, he says, because I think about it all the time. I know that real love is hard to find. And a good heart these days is hard to find. True love, the lasting kind. It's not easy to find, is it? But when you find it, it's worth more than rubies. It's priceless. Beauty is only skin deep. Ugly goes to the bone. Beauty simply fades away. Ugly holds its own. Wrinkles come and bodies sag and legs give out and bend, but a good and godly heart of grace is strong to the very end. I find great encouragement in that. She's worth far more than rubies. You see, whereas a diamond, you might say, well, why didn't the writer say a diamond? Well, a diamond catches the light and reflects it, but a ruby has an inner glow all of its own. Now, I'm no expert on precious stones, and you can go and look at my wife's costume jewelry to understand that. But this much I do know, that whilst the beauty of a diamond is on the outside, the picture here of the ruby reminds us that the beauty of a person, of a godly woman, is on the inside. And it's so valuable because it's so hard to find. But guys, when you find it, it's the most beautiful thing to behold, isn't it? And all the men went, what, eh? Is he talking to, you know? Find it. Beautiful, isn't it? Have a woman and a wife and a mother in your life that makes getting up in the morning a beautiful experience. She's worth far more than rubies. Don't ever forget the price of a mother's worth. And if God has blessed you with a woman in your life in whatever way, to that degree, you remember to thank him for it. That character of hers. The proverb at the end says, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Oh, she is priceless, worth more than rubies. And in her worth, we get a sense of our own value to our Father God, do we not? Reminded that God so loved us that he sent his Son into this world through his ruby red blood to pay the price of our sin and bring us into the fullness of all that he wants to save us for. Isn't that a lovely thing? That God sees your worth and my worth as that precious and that valuable, that he gave his own Son to give us the kind of heart that we want to model and reflect it in this woman whose price is beyond rubies. And then secondly, look at the prize of a mother's work. Another beautiful thing. You know, those things, this prize, those virtues, those values that mark her out from the crowd and give us all something that's worth aiming for. That's the prize of it. A prize that I think is succinctly summed up in the words of verse 12, where the confidence of her husband and those that know this woman is expressed by the very idea, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. I mean, is that not something worth prizing? A person, any person that brings you good and not harm all the days of your life, if you've got that kind of person in your life, are you not going to prize it? Are you not going to hold on to it? Are you not going to enjoy it? Are you not going to be continually blessed because you've got it? I would think so. I think that's a prize to have. I think it's a wonderful thing. Who wouldn't want to prize a wife or mother who brings nothing but good with them into the marriage and into the home? Who wouldn't prize a child that always and gladly obeys their parents? And all the parents said, I would. Who wouldn't prize a true believer who puts themselves out for others in the Lord rather than puts people out and off the Lord? And who wouldn't prize the person who gives much more than they ever take? You think they're easy to find? No. But what a find to prize when you find them. Now, you'd be pleased to know, when I looked through Proverbs 31, I counted up 17 specific virtues to prize in the mother whose heart we want to model. Now, you can see I haven't got time to go through 17, which is going to delight most of you a lot. But can I just underline very quickly, and we're going to bring the kids back in a moment, just three of these little things that combined, I think we ought to prize in our mums and in those ladies that are dear to our lives and in our fellow brothers and sisters as part of Mother Church here at Shirley Baptist. And the first is her dependableness. She is dependable. It's not just, is it, that she does bring good, not harm. She does that. But that she can be depended upon to do it always and in all ways. I mean, that's beautiful, isn't it? You know, you can count on this woman not only to do it sometimes, but to do it all the time. There's not many people in your life that you get like that. She brings him good all the days of her life. I know some people that will build you up just for the pleasure of knocking you down. You ever discovered them? People who find fault like it's buried treasure but can't find it in them to ever say to somebody, well done. That was good. You did really well there. For some, being anywhere or doing anything depends entirely on how they feel or what's in it for them or when it fits their schedule. But to the person I'm suggesting, as dependable as this woman that we are to prize, modelling a mother's heart is never a matter of what suits us best, but what meets the need. One mother said it like this. I saw this and I love this little letter. Put it up there. She wrote to her children, "To my children, if I had to choose between loving you and breathing, I would use my last breath to tell you I love you." I mean, that's the dependable nature of a mother, isn't it? That if she just had one breath left to give, you could depend upon her as a mother with a heart for the Lord to say to her children, "I love you." Wow. Now, I know I can depend upon the Lord. My question is often for me, Lord, can you depend upon me? Am I that dependable? Someone always eager to help when the need is mentioned. Someone always ready to lift spirits rather than crush them. Someone always willing to serve rather than be served. Someone always able to see the best in someone, not the worst. Someone like this good and godly mother who's a fountain of blessing, and that fountain of blessing never runs dry. Verse 13 says she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. So she's dependable, but she's delightful in the way she's dependable. It's not only that she has to do it, but she actually enjoys doing it. I mean, you notice the difference, don't you, when you see somebody doing something that they don't really want to do? You can see it written on their face, can't you? Whereas somebody who's doing something because they want to do it, I mean, it's chalk and cheese, isn't it? She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. What does that mean? It literally means she goes out of her way to make sure her family is lacking nothing good because she's someone to be depended upon. Now, if we're going to model that heart, here's the thing. Who might we go the extra mile for? Who do we put ourselves out for? It's lovely when somebody puts themselves out for us, But what about us putting ourselves out for others? I think Pastor Paul Tripp is right when he said there is no human heart so deeply dark and shattered by sin that it's beyond the healing and restoring power of God's amazing grace. But I just wonder if the Lord can depend upon me to get out there and say to those hearts that sin is shattered, that there is this restoring, healing grace in the Lord for you. Amen. She is dependable. Isn't that something to prize? And she's diligent, isn't she? She's got diligence. Not only does she rise early in the morning, verse 15, ready to face the tasks of each day. Bless you, Isabel, for what you were talking about there. Thank God for working mothers. Thank God for all kinds of mothers. We're not here to compare mothers to mothers. That's not the judgment we're making. We're here to look at that godly mother's heart and see if we can model our own lives upon it. She gets up early to go to work, and she sets about it diligently, vigorously, is the way the NIV puts it. I love this. You think she'd been to the gym. Her arms are strong for her tasks. I bet her children would have loved that. Strong arms in a mum. You know? Well, she's not afraid of hard work. She's not afraid of shouldering burdens. And don't we all need, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to model that, prize that in our own lives? Just like this mother, who does not, we're told in verse 27, eat the bread of idleness. She's diligent enough to work hard enough with the gifts and abilities that she's got to bless those that are close enough to her to be enriched by her very presence. Don't you want to be that in your home? Don't you want to be that in your place of work? Don't you want to be that in your field of play? Don't you want to be that in the fellowship of your church? There is no work that we can ever do that can put us right in the sight of God. But thank God we've got a God who worked himself to death in his Son Jesus Christ to put us right with him. But knowing what he's done in working for us, is there anything that I can hold back in my desire to want to do, to be diligent in my work for the Lord? I mean, a good marriage takes work, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I think it does. I mean, if you were married to me, you'd know it does. Thank God Kathy's got the diligence to make it work. Raising a godly family takes hard work. You know, it's easy for us as parents to tell our children what to do, but the hard work is actually showing them how to go about it. Because children will always follow what you do more than what you say. You discovered that? It's not always the best thing to discover, is it? You know? And a faithful and fruitful church takes hard work as well. Because it's not easy, is it, folks, to stand against the tide of compromise or face down the temptation to think that holiness is God's suggestion when it's his command. Diligence. A good mother works hard and has to work hard to be a good mother. And we need to model that mother's heart. But there's more than that to prize. There's also her dignity. For it says in verse 25, she's clothed with strength and dignity. It's not just about what she wears, although we can see from verse 22, she's well turned out. I may have told you, but I had a lady in one of my churches at Bournemouth tell me that it was a sin for women to wear makeup. But as I told her, I think it's a sin if some women don't. Now, we need to be careful. But this mother's dignity, look, it comes from the heart. So what does that mean? It means if you read the proverb through, she dresses like a lady, she looks like a lady, she acts like a lady, she talks like a lady, she sounds like a lady. And this is fantastic to me. She can laugh in the face of the future and dignify any trial because her faith is in the Lord. And as it says there in verse 30, a woman who fears the Lord, literally puts her faith in the Lord, is to be praised. This is a woman of dignity. She's never the cause of any embarrassment. That's a lovely quality to have. You know? Sometimes you can be around people that embarrass you, can't you? You think, oh, don't do that. Don't say that. But to be with a mother, to be with a woman, to be with a wife that has dignity. I think is a prize, don't you? That's worth treasuring, worth having. A mother who acts in the first instance only because it pleases the Lord, because she knows that in pleasing the Lord, her heart, her husband, her home will always get the blessing. And not only that, others will too. If you look at verse 20, if your heart is to please the Lord, the poor and needy will be glad for you too. She opens her arms to the poor, extends her hands to the needy. And the Apostle James says, this is the test of any heart that says it's saved. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. So here's the thing. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. There's something we can all do that's small enough today that might bless somebody and reflect the heart of a mother that you want to model in your own. In a world where you can be anything, be kind. Be kind. Somebody said, our days are happier when we give people a bit of our heart rather than a piece of our mind. Dignity, diligence, and dependable are to be prized in a godly mother's heart. And I am saying to us all, therefore, this morning, mothering matters, and the matters of mothering are to be modeled in the heart of all who follow Christ. And just before we get the children back in, let me give you the conclusion. Because if you're going to know the price of a mother's worth, and you're going to prize the work that a mother does, then you can get to this point and have the pride in a mother's walk. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be complimented? Isn't it? I think so. And Mothering Sunday, I think, if anything, challenges us not to take our mums and the women in our lives for granted. Remember, praise is not the absence of complaint. Don't just assume that they know what you're thinking and how you feel. Sometimes we have to say what is on our heart, don't we? I think we do. And nobody, I think, gets discouraged when somebody tries to compliment them. So if it's not your mother today, find somebody and tell them they did a great job. Find somebody and tell them their hair looks nice. Find somebody and thank them for what they do. Find somebody and trust them with what they tell you. Be glad for it. Verse 31, give them or give her the reward she has earned. What a godly mother deserves. Many women, it says in verse 29, do noble things, but this godly mother, this mother whose heart we're trying to model in our following of the Lord Jesus Christ, who empowers us and equips us to do it, is somebody who surpasses all other mothers. There is no topping a godly mother's heart, because at the heart of a godly mother is the God she has a heart for. Isn't that true? I think it's true. And on this Mothering Sunday, I want you ladies to know especially that every woman can be beautiful in Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Don't measure yourself by what somebody once put on your school report card. Don't down yourself because what somebody told you once you might have looked like. You put your trust in Jesus. The beauty that is His will be reflected in you, whoever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do. If you fear the Lord, if you know the Lord, if you love the Lord, you can be the woman, wife, and mother that God wants you to be, and have a heart that I, for one, am desperate to want to model. I don't think there's any more powerful force on planet Earth, humanly speaking, than the life of a godly wife, mother, and woman sold out to Christ, committed to her husband, devoted to her children, and dedicated to her home. And when you see it, you love it. And when you love it, you want to follow it. Isn't that true? So next time you pick up a bottle of ketchup or a tin of beans, and it's got the number 57 written on it, can I just ask you to remember what the man who set up the company with that number on it, Henry J. Hines, said when his will was written out after he had died? He said this: "I desire to set forth at the beginning of my will, as the most important item in it, a true confession of my faith in Jesus Christ my Saviour, but that this legacy was left to me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to do what I do, the way that I do it, and be prospered as I have been for it. I attribute all of it to the mother who showed me the love of God and modeled it before my very presence." Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a great thing to have a Bible to read, but whatever version you read of the Bible, sometimes your mother's interpretation of that word of God is the one you can be most thankful for. Mum, you're truly the heart of the home. And the heart of the home should have a heart for the Lord Jesus. And the heart of every Jesus follower should be modeled on a mother's heart. So there it is. Mothering matters, and the matters of mothering are to be modeled in the heart of all who follow Christ. And I'm going to test you on remembering that next Sunday. So make a careful note of it. Price it. Prize it. And folks, you've got a heart for it. Go out and be proud in the right sense of those women in your life that have modeled it so wonderfully well to your good, but to God's eternal glory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the women in our life, especially today. The women who build our homes, the women who nurse us through our hurts, the women that stand with us when we feel that we're so alone, the wives that we've been given. Help us to treasure them. The mums that gave us birth, help us to honour them. Our sisters in the Lord, help us to bless them. Lord, you know every heart that's gathered here today. And some of us have got a heart to want to go for it with you, and others are just broken in our hearts, and we don't know what direction to move out into at all. Lord, I pray that in your healing grace, you'd come and mend the need of every heart and maximize the potential in all of us to go out, whatever we feel and however ill-equipped we might believe ourselves to be, to model your love, your concern that we see in a mother's heart, and that the people in our home, the people at our work, the people in our team, and the people in our neighborhood need to see, so they can get a blessing from it too. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.